السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المهاجر من هجر الخطايا والذنوب، والمجاهد من جاهد نفسه في طاعة الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the tawfiq to have witnessed yet another Eid, Eidul Adha. Of course, many talks and bayans must have been given in preparation for this auspicious and great event and celebration of Eid in the Islamic calendar. So alhamdulillah, many lessons were derived from this incident. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to implement those important teachings and lessons in our lives. We are now in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Of course, Qurbani has taken place. The Hujjaj have completed the activities, or majority of the activities of Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their Hajj and make it such that they return to their various communities and they become assets to the communities and a means of hidayat and inspiration for others. For those who have not gone for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all. We must remember that it is not wealth that takes a person, but it is the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that enables the persons to go there. Therefore, we should never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we find, respected elders and brothers, we are now in the last month of this Islamic calendar. And soon, the month of Muharram will dawn upon us. And again, there are many lessons that we can derive from, first of all, the passing of time and the dawning of a new Islamic calendar, a new year. We know that as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a perfect, complete deen, which is not only just a mere religion, but rather it is a complete way of life. And we have find that we have some kind of teaching and some kind of advice and some kind of lesson for every single activity and event that takes place. If we look at the disbelievers, when the new year dawns, then we find that there is a celebration. People lose themselves. They trespass all boundaries. And sometimes the person engages in such actions and activities that he regrets sometimes, or she regrets for the rest of her life or his life. But we know that as Muslims, we have to continuously remain within the parameters and the boundaries of the Sharia, of this mantle of Sharia that is around us. And though it may seem that we are tied down by the laws of Sharia, by the laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the reality is that it is by chaining us ourselves to these ahkam and these laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will actually find freedom and salvation. It is like the example of a fish, that so long as the fish is out of the water, it will always be restless. But if the fish immerses itself deep in the water, then it will find satisfaction, it will find tranquility. We as Muslims are the same, that when we will immerse ourselves in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in implementing the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our hearts will find solace, satisfaction and sukoon. An example comes to mind suddenly of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi. He gives the example of the royal falcon and the vulture. So he says, if you look at the vulture, then the vulture survives on a rotting corpse that is already bacteria infested. The vulture just soars in the sky, it finds some corpse that is rotting, it goes down and it consumes it, and it finds some kind of nourishment and energy through that. So he says there was a royal falcon that belonged to the king. When he looked at the vulture, so he thought to himself that how easy is the life of this particular creature. I have to search for hours and hours for my prey, and then I have to hunt the prey down, I have to stalk the prey, and then I have to soar down and catch it. Yeah, this vulture just moves around, finds any rotting corpse, and there's no shortage of it, and it can consume it. So he says, now this royal falcon went down and started consuming that rotting carcass that was bacteria infested. What happened was that the falcon became very, very ill and eventually lost his life in the process. He says, this is the example of the believer and the disbeliever. That in their life of filth and in their life of disobedience and in their life of violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they will find satisfaction, they will find some kind of temporary enjoyment, some kind of happiness. Now, we as believers, if we look at their lifestyle and if we look at that glitter and that glamour, and then we become dazzled by that glitter and glamour, and then we go to that and start introducing those tendencies and those ways of life into our lives, then this is what is going to happen to us. That our system and our hearts will not be able to tolerate that, and it's only going to create more restlessness, anxiety, problems, complication in our lives. So respected elders and brothers, if we look at their way of life, when a new year terminates, then we find that first of all they celebrate and violate all boundaries, and the person is celebrating now his birthday or her birthday, very, very excited, person is celebrating. But we as Muslims, we should be looking at this event in a very different way. That now one more year has passed by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with one more year. Life is something, respected elders and brothers, which is very, very short. Each and every individual that has come into this world, we have got an expiry date attached to our names. It is the hikmat of Allah ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has kept this hidden. Otherwise, if the person knew that he was going to pass away in a few days' time, so he wouldn't even be able to function properly as far as his normal activities and routines are concerned. The person wouldn't be able to laugh with his children, he wouldn't be able to play with his children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this hidden. He has kept it secret. That the person is playing with his children, the person is enjoying his family members, etc. And yet, in a few hours' time, this person, death has been written for this individual. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the secret. But the reality is, we must, though it is secret, we should never become heedless of it. We should constantly remind ourselves. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O sini wa aujiz. That, O Nabi of Allah, grant me, give me some advice, some nasiha. But let that nasiha be concise, let it be short. Ulama ikram explained that the reason why he wanted short advice was that the sahaba ikram were unlike us. Whenever Nabi Kareem Sahasam gave them any piece of advice, they held on to it firmly. They had the intention to practice on it 110%. So he felt that perhaps if Nabi Kareem Sahasam's advice was too long, perhaps he may have forgotten, perhaps he may have become heedless, and he would have been unable to fulfill that advice. Therefore, he asked for a concise advice so that he could practice fully on it. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him. He said, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكْ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدَّعٍ. That if you stand up to perform your salah, then perform the salah as if it is a farewell salah. As if it is the last salah of your entire life. That if the person is now has been sent to the gallows, or he knows that he's going to be executed, or whatever it is. The person goes for an operation, how often it happens, and the doctor say, look, there is a great possibility that you may not come back. Now that person, when he knows that, how he performs that last salah, or how he engages in that ibadat prior to that activity with so much of enthusiasm, with so much of focus, with so much of concentration. So Nabi Kareem Sahasam said, when you stand up to perform your salah, perform that salah as if it is the last salah in your entire life. And we can then extend that to every single activity of our lives, that this Jum'ah that we are participating in, we should remind ourselves and say to ourselves that this could perhaps be the last Jum'ah of my entire life. Hence I need to ensure that I am focusing in the salah, I am concentrating when I am raising my hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am bonding, I am connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every single other facet and activity of deen that we engage in, do it as if it is the last. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكْ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدَّعٍ. And then he said, وَلَا تَكَلَّمْ مِكَلَامٍ تَعْذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. That do not utter any statement, do not make any comment over which tomorrow you may have regret and remorse. This tongue of ours, our late Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu, he said that this tongue is a tool of great construction, or it can also be a weapon of mass destruction. Tool of great construction, the person, just by reciting the kalima, the person can become a Muslim, al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablahu, his acceptance of Islam can expiate and wipe away all his past sins and guna. There was an incident on this acceptance of Islam, our late Mawlana Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that one girl in the madrasa, so there was her grandmother that was in the hospital, she was very ill. Adjacent to her bed, there was another Christian lady, very elderly. So she would go and visit her grandmother, speak to her about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Christian lady overheard, and she became inquisitive. She asked her that, tell me about this Islam, I want to know more. So she explained to her about Islam. This lady then said, I want to become a Muslim. So she consulted with Hazrat Mawlana Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he advised her. She then made her recite the kalima. And approximately 4 hours after her recitation of the kalima, she passed away. So Hazrat Mawlana Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, now imagine this woman, 70 to 80 years on Christianity, not one salah, not one fasting. She didn't go for hajj, but she recited the kalima, and subhanallah, everything was wiped away. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we should never ever look down upon any individual. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, waha dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. The person may be very, very pious in this world. He may be acknowledged and recognized in this world. But on the day of Qiyamah, what will his condition be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is a separate topic completely. So therefore, we should be extremely concerned. And this is why we will find that not a single wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever suffers from pride. Why? Because he's always got this fikr and concern that I do not know whether at the last moments of my life I'm going to be blessed with iman or not. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives me because of some action, sometimes the person has done a small action because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become angry with the person. Or on the contrary, the person has done some good deed with such ikhlas and sincerity because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted it. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. That do not regard any good deed as insignificant, even if it is meeting your fellow Muslim brother with a cheerful countenance, putting happiness into the person's life, smiling at the person happily. Sometimes the person has got some depression, some grief, some sorrow, and now somebody meets him with happiness, gives him that warmth. It completely causes that depression to sometimes completely melt away, or it diminishes it. So we do not know, sometimes we put happiness into the next person's life, and because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with us. Therefore the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always had this one fikr that, Ya Allah, do not deprive me of death at the time of, do not deprive me of iman at the time of death. So respected elders and brothers, this tongue and this incident of this woman, with the tongue she recited this kalima, and subhanallah, everything was wiped away. With our tongues, respected elders and brothers, there could be two parties that are fighting. There's a dispute taking place. We go to one side and we try and create harmony, create unity. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased. On the contrary, respected elders and brothers, this tongue can be a weapon of mass destruction. The husband, just by reciting talaq in anger, that entire home can be destroyed. Totally destroyed, and then the poor children suffer after that. Just by not controlling the tongue, A person's heart can be sliced, totally sliced. That is why one poet says, جِرَاحَاتُ السِّنَانِ لَهَا الْتِيَامُ جِرَاحَاتُ السِّنَانِ لَهَا الْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ الْلِسَانُ. That the wounds that are afflicted by means of the spear or some sharp object, those wounds sometimes can heal. And very often they heal. But sometimes those wounds which are inflicted by the tongue, the person made one statement that sliced the heart of somebody else, sometimes the scar remains for the rest of the life. That is why we should be very, very concerned, and we should be very cautious in the manner in which we use our tongues. And today, respected elders and brothers, this aspect of the tongue can also be extended into the cyber world, onto our social networks. That you find the person now, he's also chatting, he's also doing some kind of talking on WhatsApp or Instagram or whatever else it may be. So there too, he has to be so cautious as to what he says. Sometimes we are sitting in a gathering. In the gathering, we've got senior people. Our grandparents are there, our fathers are there, some senior person in the locality is there. We are sitting in a little gathering. Now, as a youngster, you'll be so cautious as to what you say, you'll control yourself. There's a senior person here in my midst. I cannot say anything out of the ordinary. I need to control myself. But today, unfortunately, we have not realized on these groups. A person is on some WhatsApp group, and on that group, there's some senior alim, there's some elderly person, there's some respectable person in the community on that group, and now the person doesn't control what he broadcasts and what he says on these groups, and sometimes the person then regrets it afterwards, and his reputation is spoilt in the process. That's why especially our youth out there, be very, very cautious when it comes to the social media. Sometimes we now want to get into the groove. Everybody else is taking selfies of themselves. Each person is posting a selfie of himself. So I also, since it's become the trend, so I also need to show everyone else what I'm doing. We are now living for others. We are living for other people. Other people must see what I'm eating. Somebody else must see where I'm going. Respected Alison, we need to live our own lives and enjoy your own life. Whether other people see what you're doing or they don't see what you're doing, that's got nothing to do with your life. So instead of living up to everybody else's standard, let's look at our own lives. And sometimes that youngster then posts that picture, and now it's gone onto the internet, and sometimes it's then impossible for the person to then retrieve those pictures that he posted. The person then changes later on in his life, especially the girls. That is why, oh parents, we should be very, very cautious. The cell phone, we should consider it like that snake. You know, the person has got a snake, a poisonous putting cobra, for example. And now the person has learned how to charm that snake. Now he says, you see how beautiful the skin of the snake is. He then gives it to his child and says, yeah, keep the snake with you for a little while. What's going to happen inevitably? Afterwards, if the snake bites the child, the very parents will then have regret and remorse. That why did I allow that snake to go into the company of my child? Same with these cell phones, respected as sometimes even more dangerous than that. The person gets involved in certain activities, which then he regrets for the rest of his life. We should be extremely cautious. Nevertheless, coming back to what we were saying, that this kalam and this speech of ours, let not any utterance come out of our mouths that we will have regret and remorse over tomorrow. We should measure. One Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that pehle socho, phir tolo, phir bolo. He said, before you speak, first think very carefully what I'm going to be saying. Is it beneficial, not beneficial? Will it cause harm to the person? Will it not cause harm to the person? Then measure it. That is it necessary for me to say this or not necessary? Phir bolo. Then only speak. Some ulama ikram have explained that if you look at the mouth, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that the tongue has been protected in the mouth by two jaws. And then together with the two jaws, the person has got 32 teeth as well. Then together with the 32 teeth, there's two shutters, the lips too. So before the person needs to engage the tongue, he's got to open the jaws. Then he's got to also ensure that the teeth are in the right place and they've been opened. And then he's also got to open the lips. So much of effort before we speak. Therefore, we should be very concerned before we speak anything. So the third advice which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this sahabi, he said, وَأَجْمِعِ الْأَيَاسِ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That create within yourself a kind of aversion, where you do not have any inclination with regards to what other people have in their possession. don't have any hope in what other people have in their possession. We look at somebody else, he's got wealth, now we want to befriend the person so that, you know, we can get something out of the person. Completely turn your gaze away from everything else. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the provider. Allah is the sustainer. Be contented with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So respected elders and brothers, this advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the sahabi, we can then apply it in our lives, that this year is now coming to an end. A new year will be dawning upon us. Normally a person celebrates the birthday, but there's actually nothing to celebrate about, because the person effectively is coming 1 year closer to his grave. Perhaps he can say to himself, and which person can really say that I've really spent my 1 year totally in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how weak we are. So the reality is, when we look back at our lives, there'll be so much of regret and remorse. There will be so much of nadamat that, Ya Allah, the month of Ramadan went, the 15th night of Sha'ban went, I could have done this, I could have done that. So the person will always have some kind of regret and remorse. Ya Allah, you blessed me with this ni'mat and I didn't use it in the manner that I should have used it. So that regret and remorse, it's not a time for celebration. The person is coming closer to his grave, unless he's a great wali of Allah, that he's looking forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know what our condition is, that are we really fit and are we ready to present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the person will actually take stock. He will be concerned. He will even shed a few tears on this occasion, that, Ya Allah, 1 more year has passed by. I still haven't changed my life. I still have got these bad habits. I'm still addicted to these kind of sins in my life. 1 more year has passed by. I'm 1 more year closer to my grave. I'm 1 more year closer to meeting you. I'm not even ready for this, Ya Allah. And each person knows sometimes he's lost close family members. Sometimes the person was faced by some kind of robbery, some kind of hijacking. That's a moment of reflection for that person, that I could have lost my life at that moment. I could have lost a near and dear one at that particular moment in time. The person then reflects, Ya Allah, you've given me another opportunity. You've given me another chance. You are giving me another year in my life. I need to make sure that I get closer to you. I develop that connection and bond with you. So this year, respected elders and brothers, that is dawning upon us, it is not a moment of celebration. It is a time for us to take stock of our life that has passed by. Of course, what is gone is gone. But a person can always make tawbah and istighfar. As long as a person has got life, as long as a person has got hayat in him, the doors of tawbah are wide open. Therefore, we should never ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another year Allah ta'ala is giving us. The month of Muharram will soon be coming, and we do not have the time. But there are so many lessons with regards to this hijrah, and why the calendar has commenced upon the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the struggle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing but struggle, sacrifice for the sake of the ummah, for the sake of humanity. A very important lesson for us, respected elders and brothers, that when the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make such sacrifices for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we as mu'mineen and muslimin should be prepared to make some kind of sacrifice for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the day of Qurbani, our late Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned that if you look at the day of Qurbani, that animal, its life is being sacrificed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That life is being sacrificed for the pleasure and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should ask ourselves the serious question, are we prepared to sacrifice our lives for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we are not prepared to sacrifice our lives, then the least we can do, respected elders and brothers, is we should be prepared to sacrifice our evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make qurbani of some evil desire of ours. That evil desire is alive, it's kicking, it's strong. The person then targets that evil desire, like on the day of qurbani, that particular sheep was, said, right, we're cutting that sheep. So we target that sheep, the person catches that sheep, the sheep is kicking too. He puts it down, holds it down, and then he takes a knife and slaughters it. The blood then flows. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, there are certain evil desires that we have in our life. Perhaps the person is addicted to music. That music is alive in his life. He's listening to it, he's enjoying it. He's attached to it. But he targets that particular evil desire of his. He then floors it, he holds it down. That evil desire, his nafs is saying, no, but we have to listen to music. We're addicted to it. It gives you some kind of solace. He says, no, I'm going to slaughter this evil desire for the pleasure of Allah. He then takes that knife of taqwa, He runs it over the throat of that evil desire. The blood then flows. Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gives the example. He says that on one occasion, his Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu, they were walking on the shores of the ocean at the time of sunrise. And as the sun was rising, then the entire horizon was turning red as the sun was rising. And then eventually it became bright. So he says we can take a very important lesson from this. That look at this scenario. That first there was total darkness. And then as the sun began to rise, the horizon became totally red. After the redness, there was brightness and then all darkness disappeared. He says in the same way, we have got a lot of dark and evil desires in our lives. A lot of dark and evil desires in our lives. But if we take that knife of taqwa and then we slaughter these evil desires and the blood of the evil desire then flows on the heart. The heart or the horizons of one's heart then becomes red with the blood of the evil desires. That the person shatters those evil desires. He sacrifices those evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The horizons of his heart become red. The person's feeling the pain when everyone else is engaging in that sin. He says, Ya Allah, I'm slaughtering this evil desire for your pleasure. So now, this horizon of his heart becomes red. But after the redness, then there is brightness. And then eventually, the mahabbat, the ma'rifat, the recognition, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then begins to rise in that heart. And then eventually all darkness vanishes from that particular heart. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all our a'mal in this year that has passed by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this forthcoming year a better year for us. Allah ta'ala make it a year wherein we can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can make those changes in our lives. Because Allah ta'ala is giving us another chance. Allah is giving us an extension. We should think it's an extension on our life. And therefore, respected elders and brothers, we should also make abundant dua for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the world, the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very pitiable state. So much of discord, so much of disunity, so much of strife and hardship. We should spare thought for them. Allah ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.